Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Thursday, listeners. How's it going? How's your week doing? Hi, Rob.
Hi, Kevin. My week is fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. I hope everyone is in listening land is having a wonderful week. We have our Throwback Thursday episode today. Yay!
Yes, we do. I have to apologize. I have
a lozenge.
I have a dry throat, so I have a lozenge, like an old person.
Are you feeling a little under the weather? You okay?
No, I don't know what it is. I think for the past couple of days, because I've been doing so much yelling and screaming.
You've been working your butt off, Rob.
So it's a little hoarse now at this point.
Yeah.
So for my older listeners, I sound like old Jerry Lewis. Because there's two Jerry Lewises. This is in the context of the podcast, folks. There's two Jerry Lewises. There's young Jerry Lewis, who you see in the movies, who's like, I had thy lady, I have won. Which apparently people thought were funny at some point. I don't know why. It was the 50s. And then there was like older, arrogant Jerry, who always had a lozenge in his mouth. And you could always hear it like rattling around when he criticized people. Like when he said, women aren't funny. If you remember that controversy, when he was like, women aren't funny, he said it with, women aren't funny. With the lozenge going around in his mouth.
So you're old Jerry today.
So today it's old Jerry. It's old Jerry.
All right. Yay.
Right, although, okay. I'm sorry, I know he's dead. We shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but I don't want to hear from Jerry Lewis that women aren't funny. You give me Carol Burnett, Joan Rivers, or Tina Fey any day.
Any day of the week,
over him falling downstairs going, I defy you, lady. I'm sorry. I'm sure he was great in Hell's a Poppin' and Damn Yankees.
Like 40 years apart.
40 too. Years apart. He likes to make you wait for it.
God. We heard some good stories of him in Damn Yankees, I think, from one of our interviewees.
John Bolton.
That's right.
John Bolton gave us some good stories about him.
Boy, you just pulled that out really quickly. I'm impressed. I could not remember who it was.
Kevin, I listen when they talk. I don't know what you're doing. I'm listening to John Bolton.
Crossword puzzles, you know, I don't really
Kevin's
listen.
Nice. He comes in, he sets up the equipment, then he takes a little nap in the corner, which we try not to talk too loud to disrupt
him. That's right.
You know, we don't want to bother anybody.
I'm excited for our interview today. We have Ernestine Jackson we're going to chat with, talk about some Raisin, talk about Guys and Dolls, the Ball Black Guys and Dolls in 1976. I'm so excited that we got her, Rob.
The great Ernestine Jackson. We've been trying to get her for a long time now. We're very excited. I wanted to do a little shout out really quickly. We got a package full of wonderful books. And I was like, we couldn't figure out who sent it to us. And it was one of our great listeners, Catherine. Catherine, thank you so, so much for sending us these lovely books, which is great because it's just like, I love reading. So you just
love it. Yeah,
I will devour these books. And it's so nice. Kevin and I always appreciate it when one of you sends us something really, really sweet.
Oh,
like
my
that.
Goodness.
Thank you for doing really that because we know it costs money to put things in postage and you have to schlep to the post office. But thank you, Catherine. It really does mean the world to us. And we thank all of our listeners who are as dedicated as Catherine. So thank you. So you all need to send us books.
I love that it was sent to 54 Below too. So like no need to, you know, you just send it there. That's fine. It was waiting for you at 54 Below at the office.
It makes me feel such a celebrity. So a friend of mine was telling me yesterday that somebody once sent a letter to Johnny Mercer and just put Johnny Mercer, New York, on the envelope. And I got to him.
Those are the old days, you know, when people used to write, you know, letters to the stars. If they were in a show on Broadway, they would write letters to them. I have a lot of friends that used to do that in the 60s, 70s. They would and stars would write back then. People would, you know, have exchanges with like, you know, Katharine Hepburn or, you know, like it was just a different time. I mean, now what do you do? You go on Facebook and you talk to people that you love, I guess, but it's.
Well, you tweet at them.
Well, you tweet at them and they tweet you back. Yeah, you're right.
I was tweeted once. That was my Katharine Hepburn.
Thank you. I thought it was Gwen Verdon, but that's good. Hey, that Fosse Verdon. Oh my goodness. How cool is that? I'm so excited about this TV series that is mainstream America. We literally have a show on TV on FX that's about Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon. What is the world that we are living in? It's amazing.
Did you watch the first episode?
I did. I'm going to actually watch it again today. I'm that crazy. I felt like there was a lot coming at me, and it jumps around a little bit. And so I just feel like I need to watch it again to get it all. But I'm just so impressed. I just love it. And Michelle Williams' Gwen Verdon is unbelievable. Her voice, it sounds, I don't know, it's really
good. I smell an Emmy. She's really good. She's really, and so is he.
I mean, he's fantastic, but she, like, because, you know, how do you, you know, it's like playing anyone that's like a really famous, iconic figure that is such an individual that no one's ever going to come close to being as special as that person is. Kind of like Freddie Mercury, you know, how do you capture, you know, like that kind of personality? And Gwen, I think, is the same way. And boy, does she nail it. I'm just so blown away by it.
Yeah, she's very fabulous in it. It should be called Verdon, ..
Yeah,
Verdon. And a guy named Bob.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's who he is because of the women in his life, that's for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first episode. I really, really enjoyed the first episode. It was exciting to see. And there's so many theater people popping up.
I love that.
In it.
Yeah.
Like Kelly Barrett, who we just worked with, is playing Liza Minnelli. We did a show this week together.
We did a show this week. 1964 came back to 54 Below, and it was called Foxy.
Johnny Mercer, Robert Emma Dolan, with a book by Ian McClellan Hunter and Ring Lana Jr.
Thank you. That was good. I like that.
Thank you. That's the old timey voice that would announce things for you.
It was cute. We had a good time.
Yeah, and it was so nice. We had so many of our former guests.
It was like
on stage or in the audience.
That was unbelievable.
On stage, we had Jim Brochu. We had Chip Zine. We had Michael Riedel. I was very excited. I asked Michael, "How's life going?" And he's like, "Oh, good." He goes, "I'm working on a sequel to the book." So
that is great news.
So get ready, folks.
Oh, man, that Razzle Dazzle. And if you haven't read Razzle Dazzle, go out and buy it. It is truly, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is a page turner. It is such a thrilling book. I just can't. And I've talked to many people about this, and everyone agree. I mean, it is just a page turner. I read it in like 24 hours.
And in the audience, we had Mark Sendroff, Anita Gillette. Josh Ellis, the fabulous Josh Ellis, the great press.
I think I saw Mel Miller was there.
Mel Miller was there. Great Mel Miller. And I'm sure I'm forgetting people. But it was lovely, 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 lovely.
And that sweet, the boy that,
Charles.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was so happy to Charles. Hi, Charles. It was so awesome to meet him. He's a fan, a listener of the podcast, like so many of you. And he came in to see the show and talk to us. And boy, it was just so nice to have listeners of all ages in the house.
And guys, you'll find out who this kid is soon enough because he's a brilliant, brilliant person.
We'll be working for him.
We'll all be working for him at some point. We'll all be working for him. So get ready. But a brilliant young man, really, really brilliant kid. Who apparently he did a, you know, in seventh, I forget how the story goes, but when he was in elementary school, he did a book report. You know, most kids are like, you know, Curious George and, you know, Bridge to Terabithia, if anyone remembers that.
Bridge to Terabithia.
It's pulling the old
Thanks one. For that. That was pulling it back.
But he did a book report on one of Peter Felicia's books.
Oh, see, the classroom must have been so confused.
You kidding? They would have been elated.
I would have been lucky to have that.
I want to go to that school if they're going to say you can do a Peter Felicia book report. I want this kid to have his own podcast. He's got such interesting thoughts and interesting ideas. So, what books did they make you read in elementary school?
Oh,
did you read Charlotte's Web?
Definitely read that. The one about the dog. I hated the ones with the animals that died at the end.
Where the red fern grows?
Yeah. Oh,
is that
gosh.
It?
Yeah, that's it. I don't like that one. Yeah, it's too sad. That's the same reason why I don't like Bambi. You know, it's just too sad.
I can't watch Bambi.
Or E.T. Oh, I can't stand E.T. Hate that movie.
I had a friend who looked like E.T. Seriously, in high school, I had a friend who looked like E.T. And as a joke, we used to put him in people's rooms and line up like all their stuffed animals and stick his head in the middle, just like they did in the E.T. movie. We thought it was funny. I hope he wasn't scarred by that.
I know. I wonder where he is now, Rob.
I'm not going to make that joke. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Moving on. We've got a lot of shows.
And find out. And of course, sorry, very quickly. So Foxy was brought to us by one of our avid listeners, John Moss, who reconstructed the whole evening, the whole show.
Well done, John. Well done, John.
Foxy. Sounds like a 70s porn.
Does it?
I think so.
Yeah, 70s, that's about right.
Yeah, right? Foxy.
Nice.
She's a detective. In my version, she's a detective.
Ah, yeah, nice.
Yeah. Right, she's a badass detective.
No, I see what you're doing there, yeah. It also could be like a 1980s television series as well.
It could, but I don't know who would be in it.
Okay, well, all right then.
Well, so thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
I got nothing else for you. No, okay. I do have something for you. I have a favorite. Oh, no, before I have a favorite thing, I've been seeing a lot of theater.
You have. And last night we saw Ain't Too Proud, which was really fun.
We saw Ain't Too Proud, which is a blast, an absolute blast. I had such a good time. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
All right, Rob, bring it.
All these reviews, I think, were saying like, oh, another jukebox musical, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know what? If you don't like jukebox musicals, guess what? You don't have to go see them.
No, don't go.
That's real simple. You don't like them, you don't have to go see them. I loved Ain't Too Proud. I think it's sleek. It is stylish. The cast is fabulous. There are so many great performers up there. And I thought it was interesting, the story of the Temptations. I did not know the story of the Temptations. I knew their music. But Des Makanoff, who directed it, has done such a – he also did Jersey Boys and Summer last year. We'll just focus on Jersey Boys. Did such great work in keeping this story moving.
It flowed. It just flowed. And really, it went by so fast, the evening. I mean, the show was over, and I thought, wow, that was really streamlined. I mean, the pace of it was just so perfect.
Fabulous pacing and wonderful. Derek Baskin.
Oh my gosh.
Is your narrator throughout the evening. The original creator of The Temptations. And he is so good and they sound great. And the choreography is lovely.
They look great. Yeah.
They look great. It's just so I hear right now it's the highest grossing show on Broadway. Honestly, deservedly so. I think it's fabulous. I have seen a lot of bad bio musicals. I think we all have. We just sort of sit there and scratch our head. But this year, the Cher show and Ain't Too Proud, I think, are both really entertaining evenings in the theater. So go. I would heartily and happily recommend this show to anybody. You know,
I don't think it's going to have trouble. I don't think it's going to have any trouble.
I'm sorry, if you don't like jukebox musicals, then guess what? Don't go see the jukebox musical. No, I was going to say, you know what you're getting into. So if you don't like it, don't go and don't rain on everybody's parade. Or if you're a critic and you come in automatically and you're like, I don't like jukebox musicals. Well, then you're already coming in with your hackles up. Maybe you should give the review assignment to somebody else.
Yeah. And there's a whole generation of people who grew up with these songs, and it's really exciting to see them sung again and to see a little more context and how they got to where they got, you know, in the history of pop rock and all of that. I think it's really a great story.
It was. It was also fun to watch a lot of people in the audience count on the one and the three.
Nice. You're right.
I don't know how the cast was doing it, because like the audience was literally clapping out of rhythm the entire time.
Yes.
And I was like, how do you guys stay focused on the right rhythm when Estelle is in the front row clapping away?
Oh, but she's living her best life. She's loving it.
She was. She was having a good time. Good time. And Jeremy Pope, this young actor, my God, is he good. He was in Choir Boy this year.
That's right.
And blew me away in Choir Boy. And then he had like 4 days off. And then
that's right.
Jumped into Ain't Too Proud.
It's not a bad year for him.
No, they say he might be one of the only people that'll be maybe nominated twice in a Tony season. I think like best supporting actor in a musical and once like best lead actor in a play. So
yeah,
let's see. He deserves it. This kid is amazing.
Yeah.
Did you see Choir Boy? Did you get a chance?
Austin Pendleton was in that, right? Yeah.
Austin Pendleton, former guest Austin Pendleton was in it. His interview was fabulous. I thought he was funny.
was an acting masterclass.
Yeah.
It was, and a lot of friends that I know that are friends with him said it was just, that's exactly what they expected from him, and it really captured his essence, and I'm glad we did.
A little, we can tell the story now because we had the interview. So you may know this or you may not know this. Austin is probably the busiest per artist in New York City because he literally is all over the place. There is not a minute of his time that isn't scheduled.
I was just coaching at a studio, and there's a flyer hanging up for a showcase. Who's in it? Austin Pendleton.
Of course like, he is.
He says yes to everything. It's amazing. He's constantly working, constantly busy. It's a lesson to young actors that you say yes, you go out and you do it. You create your opportunities. It doesn't matter where or what or when, but you just make it happen. You stay active. I mean, it's just very impressive.
Agreed, 110%. And so when he came in to be interviewed by us, he came in and he looked frazzled, and he said, I'm so sorry, we'll start. I said, no, Austin, you have a couple of minutes, you know, just so he could like relax and regroup. He goes, okay, good, I'm gonna check my email. He sat there for 30 minutes in silence and just checked his email. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't know to be like, should we start?
Yeah, no,
he just answered his emails for about 30 minutes. It's good. It was good. made me happy. Made me really happy.
An artist at work.
So anyway, it's a funny story, but we literally sat there for half an hour. Saturday night, I saw Tootsie.
You did.
I did.
Oh, man. How fun. I mean, you had a good time.
I had a great time. Sarah Stiles, folks, is in this, and she, for those of you who know the movie, she plays the Terry Garr role. She plays the girlfriend, the jilted girlfriend. It is one of the funniest performances I've ever seen in a musical comedy. And yes, I'm going to say musical comedy like an old person, because I saw it in Boston in 1972.
At the Colonial Theater.
At the Colonial Theater. She is so brilliant in this show, and her songs by David Yazbek are so fabulous. She plays this neurotic actress who convinces herself that the worst is going to happen even before she starts whatever she's going to do. It is so funny. This supporting cast in Tootsie is great. It's her. It's Julie Halston. Mm-hmm. Who plays a producer who is one of the funniest. It's just a funny show, guys.
Yeah,
it's just an absolutely funny show. I am a little confused, and I will tell you why.
Oh.
Because I posted how much I loved it, and I got a bunch of text messages from people saying, are you saying that just to be nice because it's social media? And I said, no, why? And they were like, well, the chat rooms are tearing it apart. I'm sorry.
The chat rooms.
Yeah, wow. The chat rooms.
I didn't know.
I was talking about this with somebody. I find it so interesting that, you know, one person can go into a chat room and say, I don't think this show is good. And you can have 500 people who think the show is wonderful. But that one person, just by putting it out there, suddenly that's accepted as, oh, the show is in trouble. Like one person, we don't know who they are.
Right. They are, or what age they are, or what experience they have in going to the theater, or anything.
If they've seen the show.
Yes.
You know, I used to have, okay, I won't name names. I used to have a friend who would like go off for 2 hours about why a show didn't work. Why this didn't work, and that didn't work, and this didn't work, and that didn't work. And I swear to you, one time when he was done, I said, well, when did you see the show? And he goes, oh, I haven't seen it yet. But I think there's a lot of people out there like that.
Well, I think everybody likes to have an opinion, likes to have a point of view, and sometimes having the polarizing opinion gives them a little more attention and gets them, you know, what they want, you know, which is that kind of attention, I think.
Yeah, but can't you see the show? Like, you just see the show before you express an opinion on it? So anyway, the book of Tootsie, I think, is hysterical. It's a really, really funny book. It's by the same guy who did 13. I found myself laughing so hard during the dialogue. I mean, Yazbek's score is amazing, but this book is really funny. It feels just like a big old golden age comedy. There's also some controversy about the show.
Oh? I did not know this.
With the marketing. With the marketing. I'm sorry, folks, because I'm going to be telling you a story and then paraphrasing. There's a T-shirt in the lobby that they sell with the show. And I feel like it has some line like it's not it takes like a real man to be a woman, or it's being a man is no job for, or being a woman is no job for a man. Something along those lines to fit in with. And if you don't know Tootsie, just in a short version, it's about a male actor who dons drag and convinces an entire, in this show, the Broadway community, that he is a female actress.
To get work.
Yeah. To get work. But he's straight in the show. It's not, you know, he doesn't identify as trans. He's a straight actor, has a girlfriend, and a lot of the show is about pursuing pursuing a woman. So,
is it period? Is it from like 1980, or is it like today?
No, it takes place now. It takes place now. What they've done in the show, if you remember the movie, it took place in the 80s, and it was about a soap opera actress. Dustin Hoffman dressed as a woman and auditioned for a soap opera, got cast on the soap opera, and got catapulted to stardom. And the whole viewing public bought into the idea that he was a woman. In the musical, it takes place now in 2019, but instead of it being a soap opera, it's a musical. It's a musical. Yep. He goes into audition for a Broadway musical, and they cast him as a supporting player in the musical. And then she, you know, the character in drag, starts changing the way the musical is perceived and starts, you know, driving everybody crazy. But then the changes end up being for the better. So it's literally what's happening in the movie, just in the world of musical theater as opposed to soap operas.
Yes.
Anyway, so apparently there's a lot of backlash now from the trans community saying that they find the marketing to be offensive, even though the show is – this is a tricky show. It's a tricky show because in 1982 – you don't really, it's not a thought. It's not a thought at all, but now apparently it is.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be an interesting discussion to see how, if Tootsie's going to change the marketing to accommodate those in the community that are offended by the advertising. So we shall see. Very, very interesting. However, I will say I loved the show, and I thought Sarah Stiles is brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh
yeah, and wow. Santino Fontana is Tootsie, and Lily Cooper is his love interest, taking on the Dustin Hoffman, Jessica Lange roles.
Nice.
Which is fabulous. Oh, you know what? I will say they actually made a really fabulous change. So in the movie, Charles Durning plays Jessica Lange's dad, who falls in love with Tootsie.
Of course.
Like you would. You would.
Oh, naturally.
And Charles Durning's performance in it is so fucking heartbreaking, and he's so good. They don't have that character in the musical anymore. They sort of replaced him with a reality star who's in love with Tootsie. And this guy, I'm so sorry. I'll tell you his name next week. It was so funny in this role. As a reality star that doesn't have like a thought in his head. It is the book. I can't tell you enough. If this does not win best book, I am going to burst into tears. You have to be there with Kleenex to wipe my tears away. No, don't hold me.
Okay.
Don't hold me. Just wipe the tears away. Wipe the tears away. Because if you hold me, I might punch you in the face when I jump for joy when Alay May wins the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Play. And I don't want to hurt you.
No, I don't want to be hurt.
You're too precious to me. Have you seen What the Constitution Means to Me?
No, but everyone is saying that this is so special. This is so such an important piece of theater.
It really is. I feel like little sunshine, little Mary Sunshine today, because I'm just saying I love everything. I loved it. I loved it. You know what else I love?
What, Rob? Your favorite thing?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
You ready for it?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so folks, after we've just babbled on for like half an hour, now we're going to get to our favorite things.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Here we go.
Ooh. Yeah.
You're cracking me up today,
Rob. That was a little Merv Griffin for the young kids, because I know that always goes over well. Ooh. I discovered this YouTube channel, and I am so over the moon, and I have to write to this person to see what else they have. I was not aware of this until about a couple of weeks ago. There is a gentleman by the name of Ryan Keating, spelled R-I-A-N, Ryan Keating, R-I-A-N. Ryan Keating in the 80s hosted, I think, a public access show, surprise, surprise.
Yes, please.
On Channel C in Manhattan. And show is called Spotlight. And he sat down for half an hour and interviewed people that were appearing on Broadway at the time. But Kevin, much like we're doing now, he was interviewing not huge stars, like supporting people. People that would not be like booked on the Tonight Show or have a New York Times interview about them. So guys, I want you to go to YouTube, and the channel is Ryan, R-I-A-N,
A-N.
Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G. So I'm just going to name some of the people he interviews. He interviews George Rose. He interviews B.B. Newworth in 1984. This is way before she even really hits it big with Sweet Charity. Mary Testa from 1986. Marge Champion, Mara Louise, Kelly Bishop, Milo O'Shea.
Gwen Verdon.
Great interview with Gwen Verdon. Wanda Richard from 42nd Street.
This is amazing, Rob. It's
Jane Cannell. There's a lot of people that, you know, Kevin and I are always like, oh, if they, you know, we would love to have had blah, blah, blah on the show, because I'm sure they had great stories, but they passed way before we even started this. So people like Jane Cannell and people like George Rose, we would love to have sat down and talked to. So anyway, I think you should all go over to this channel. The episodes are 30 minutes each. Ryan is still around. He's on Facebook. So I'm wondering if there's other interviews out there that he hasn't posted yet.
I've never seen these before. I'm absolutely amazed.
and a lot of these people that he's interviewing later off to the younger people went off to do like amazing things. Like, he interviewed Kathy Bates talking about Night Mother. He interviewed, like I said, B.B. Newworth even before she became successful in Chicago.
Right.
Not Chicago. I apologize. Sweet Charity in 1986. Yeah. So it's
Quentin Crisp. Wow.
Terry Ralston, Hinton Battle, Cleavon Little, Word Baker, Lori Noto, who produced the Fantastics for so many years.
Marge Champion. Wow. Kelly Bishop. Amazing.
It's really wonderful. And I'm assuming, if I understand this correctly, it must have been on either once a week or once a month. I can't figure this out. So I'm going to Facebook message Ryan and ask him and see what else he has. But the work that he did in the 80s is just incredible.
Yeah.
The earliest interview on here looks like 1982, and the oldest looks like 1986. So I will find out more information. But in the meantime, folks, please go on to YouTube. Head over to Ryan Keating. That's R-I-A-N Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G. And just go down this rabbit hole. And one of the things I'm really impressed with is how frank these interviews are. It doesn't feel like, oh, and then let me tell you a funny story about like working on 42nd Street. It's like Wanda Richard talks about having an affair with Gower Champion, and K. Cole talks very intimately about what's been the struggles in her career and what she liked about A Chorus Line and what she didn't like about A Chorus Line.
It's
George Rose talking about what audiences, how they should behave, how they shouldn't behave, what shows work, what shows don't. It's a very open discussion. I'm very surprised by the candor these people have, but it's a testament, I think, to Ryan's ability as a host to draw people out of their shell,
or
to give them a comfort level where they can be so open. So Ryan, fabulous, fabulous, amazing, wonderful work. And I'm going to figure out what else is out there, because Ryan, if you need any help posting stuff, let us know.
And amazing.
In honor of Fosse Verdon, he posted this documentary from PBS called Steam Heat, which is about an hour or so long, talking about Bob Fosse's legacy with great clips and great interviews. So go down this rabbit hole with Ryan Keating. It's really fabulous. He has 309 subscribers. I would love for that number to be 400 by the next time we talk.
Amazing. Well done. Well done, Rob. That's a really, really good one.
Well done, Ryan. Well done, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
What about you?
I have an album that I would like to discuss. I'm going to put my toe in the classical music realm, but it's still very much connected to our beloved musical theater. This is a piano album with all piano music on it. It is a 3-CD album. There are 36 individual composers that have reimagined the work of the great Stephen Sondheim. And this album is called Liaisons, Reimagining Sondheim. It is, the pianist on it is, his name is Anthony Demare, or Demare, D-E-M-A-R-E. Forgive me, please, for pronouncing it incorrectly. And he had commissioned all these world-renowned classical composers and musical theater composers and pop writers to reinterpret the different songs of Sondheim. So to give you an example of some of the people that are on this album, that they arranged these songs for him to play on the album. Classical composers like William Bochum, Nico Muhly, who is a very young composer who just had the Marnie opera that was done at the Metropolitan Opera 2 years ago, I think. Steve Reich, who's, everyone loves his music. Jason Robert Brown reimagined Birds of Victorian England. Duncan Sheik takes Joanna and calls it Joanna in Space. Wynton Marsalis has the old piano role. Jake Heggie. All these songs of Sondheim that have been reimagined in whatever vein that these classical writers and contemporary writers and musical theater writers interpret them. Send in the Clowns, all these different songs of Sondheim that David Shire has a song on here that have been reinterpreted by these amazing composers. And I put it on and I could not stop listening to it. It was absolutely incredible because we know these tunes. And if you know, even if you don't know much about these individual composers, you get to hear the flavor that they bring to all of these songs. And I just think it's absolutely incredible. And Sondheim going back to that other album that Cyril Amy that I talked about, the jazz singer, and how Sondheim really wants to think of himself as much as a lyricist, but really a composer. I mean, that's he alphabetizes his albums by composer, not by song, by show title. He thinks of the music first, and you really hear that in this work of his, and interpreted by all these great artists, played by the great Anthony Demare, who's a concert pianist in New York City and is a fantastic player. This album came out about like 5 years ago, I think, 2014. But it's just so worth a listen. And if you can buy it on Amazon, or you can listen to it where you stream music. But I would love for you all to take a listen to this Sondheim album, because it's just really awesome to hear his music interpreted in so many different ways.
I'm looking at the website right now. The website is liaisonsproject.com.
Yes.
It's all on there. Is this on Apple Music, do you know?
It is. I believe so. Yeah. It's on Amazon Music, iTunes. It's on Spotify. I believe it's on all the places that you go to stream music. But it is. I mean, I, the fact that he got all of these writers, Ricky Ian Gordon, Duncan Sheik, it's really I'm just amazed by it all, that he was able to collect so many different gifted artists to, reinterpret. And we're not talking like, easy big note piano playing. We're talking very, very complex writing. And you definitely hear like the Duncan Sheik. Yeah. You hear his effect on the music. You hear Marsalis. You hear like the jazz influence on it. I just can't say enough about it. I think it's really fun that I like crossing over. I think that, it's so important that we support all different kinds of art forms, whether it be opera, whether it be classical music, whether it be, because I think we're all trying to do the same thing. And I, the older I get, the more I appreciate the art that I think that I sort of didn't understand when I was a little younger, and I'm appreciating it much more now. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
I just downloaded it. You see?
Well done, Rob.
I can't wait to listen to this.
Oh, it's really
fun. Oh, he has the
fun.
Ladies Who Lunch on here.
Oh yeah, it's there's theme and variation, and it's all that kind of thing, and some of the songs are more tuneful than others, but that's just the beauty of it all. And it's really fun. I just can't recommend it enough. And Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's really fun. It's a really fun album.
Ooh, I'm always looking for something to play during brunch.
Yeah, it is. It has that kind of, that's exactly what it is. It's definitely music that you can listen to in the background and also listen to in the foreground. I mean, there's a lot to interpret, especially it's Sondheim. Hello, you can't go wrong.
Background, foreground. Can I listen to it on the battleground?
Exactly, Rob.
I don't know if wars would be fun. Oh, no, maybe. Maybe both opposing sides would come together to enjoy Sondheim.
That's right.
If there's one thing warring countries love, it's jazz Sondheim. Arrangement of No One Is
That's right.
Really, really reminds everyone why we're here.
Oh, thank you.
Why
for
we're
that.
Here. This is great, Kevin. I didn't even know this was existing.
Good. I'm glad. It's fun. And I didn't know about Ryan Keating. I'm so excited to take a look at these interviews. I'm so excited to go down.
Jump in. The first one I started with was George Rose.
Okay.
And it was really fascinating. He's interviewed at his house, but I don't see a tiger go by. He says, as you know, it was
yes. Oh, yes.
Ed Dixon said there was a tiger, a jaguar.
We've asked other people. We've tried to get to the bottom of this.
Who did I ask? And they were like, no, what are you talking?
No.
Oh, when we do our interview with Graziella Danielle.
Yes.
I asked her. And she goes, well, I never saw one, but didn't make it sound like it was impossible.
Right. It was more like, yeah, it could happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
could have been there. Yeah. I just never saw it.
Sounds about right. It sounds about right, but yeah.
The lion is listening. It was very offended. He's like, Grazie, yeah. You and I used to go to Shea Josephine.
Josephine, of course.
The lion then got his real estate license and is now a very successful broker up in Schenectady. He left the business.
Yes.
He left the business.
Onward and upward.
Onwards and upwards. All right. Well, that's it for us. Hope
have
you
a great weekend.
Margot yep. Sappington's interview earlier.
Oh,
and wasn't she interesting?
Fascinating. Loved it. Yeah. Had a great time.
Choreographer for O Calcutta?
Mm. Scandal.
Who was? I think it was Clive Barnes in his review for O Calcutta who said the problem with doing an all naked musical is not everything stops when the music does.
Right, right.
I was like, that's a funny line. That's
right,
a funny line. So good for you, Clive. He's no John Simon, but we'll call it a day. All right, till next
all right.
time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.